This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. Welcome to 180 Degrees. This is Amarain.
This is Inga Stoffel.
And this is Zoe George.
Oh, I love that intro, guys.
Flowed seamlessly. Welcome to the show tonight, guys. We're very excited. So we've got another What's Down in Your Kitchen this week. We've got a phenomenal interview. And we've got a really fun Bible quiz as well. I'm also looking forward to Inga's happy health tip. Mm. Zoe, what can you tell us about the Groovy movie without spoiling it?
Oh my goodness, you've really put me in such a tight spot right now.
Do you really want to ask Zoe that?
You know what? I take it back. We will wait till afterwards and then we'll chat about it. So guys, right before we get started with everything, let's listen to this song.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
Cape Town.
What's down in Cape Town?
Cape Town.
All right, and now it is time for the What's Down in Your Kitchen. This week's recipe is a lemon meringue. I'm really excited for this one. Fun fact about me, the most lemon meringues I've made in one day is 90.
90?
I want to hear that story. 90?
I used to work at a bakery. We didn't only make lemon meringues. We made 90. Well, I made 90 lemon meringues. She made the cheesecakes. I'm not sure how much we made, my boss at the bakery. And then together, we made about 60 wortelkoek carrot cakes together. We had to make shortbreads for the restaurant, and we baked bread that morning as well. It was a very productive day.
Can I just ask you, was this in one day?
Yeah, no. And, like, it was summer, so it was hectic before COVID. So every day we sold out of the lemon meringues.
Mm.
Like, the most I made, usually we made, like, 60 to 80. But that day, they're, like, 90. We need to build up a bit of a stock because there was nothing left.
Yes, yes. Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yeah, and this is a really tasty recipe because we keep selling out, guys.
I was going to say, please give me the recipe. I'm in a baking. The baking bug bit me. The baking bug bit me.
She made a delicious malfa.
Oh, I did in that. I did. And now I feel like I can bake anything. So I'm ready for this recipe.
You know, this is actually a really, really easy recipe as well. It's from my mother. I keep giving you guys my family recipes.
No,
I'm not sure
it.
If they'll
we
be mad
it.
About it. But
it's because we're all family here.
We're all family.
Family on 180 degrees.
So to make the base of the lemon meringue, you need 1.5 packets of tennis biscuits. This doesn't have to be the tennis biscuit brand. It just needs to be any cookie that's like coconut based, as well as 90 grams of melted butter. So you have to crunch the cookies up really small, like kind of turn them into dust.
Mm.
You can do this either with a rock, as I've had to do before, put them in a plastic bag and just whack, 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 whack. I've used a mortar and pestle as well. The best, what works best is a food processor, but not everyone has one of those, but you can make a plan with whatever. Just crumb those cookies, mix it with the butter, and then press it into your dish and let it chill until you're ready for the next step. In the next part of the lemon meringue, you need 2 tins of condensed milk and a 3/4 cup of lemon juice. You mix those together, it looks really cool, and then you add 5 egg yolks. Zoe, can you tell me which part of the egg is the yolk?
I believe it's the yellow part, right?
Correct!
Wow.
Yeah.
So you add 5 egg yolks, and then you beat them together, and then you pour them into the condensed milk. You mix that together, and you pour it into the crust. Then you put that back into the fridge, let it cool. In a separate bowl, the egg whites from the egg yolks, you whisk them. The tip with this is whisk it longer than you think you have to. That's the way to get a really good meringue. Just when you think you're done whisking it, whisk it more. It takes really long, but it's worth it. When it becomes stiff, add 1/2 cup of caster sugar and 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder. So then you take the base of the lemon meringue, which now has the condensed milk base in. Mm-hmm. You put the meringue on top, and then you shape it nicely with your spoon. Then you put it in the oven at 180 degrees. For 10 minutes until it becomes nice and brown and beautiful on top, and then you take it out of the oven, you let it chill, and then you can serve it.
Oh, wow. Me, just listening to that. Okay, let me tell you my favorite part. I eat the lemon meringue, but I actually take the meringue off and eat the lemon in the bottom because those are like my favorite. Or I'll eat the meringue first. and then I will go for the middle and the bottom.
Okay, okay. You, if you eat the whole thing still, I'm like, okay, that's fine. Eat it in whichever order you think is fine. Just a tip for you guys, you can't really use normal house sugar in this because you will be able to taste like... You'll find those little granules of sugar in the meringue, and it's not nice. It makes it really weird consistency. So please do use caster sugar. This is a tip for you, Inga, and for you, Zoe, and for everyone at home.
Yeah, I'm glad. Let me note that down. Caster sugar.
I'm so glad you gave that tip, because oftentimes when I want to bake something and I see the recipe says caster sugar, I'm like, nah, what if I just use
basically
regular sugar?
Basically, it usually doesn't matter, but for a meringue, it makes a difference. I've had store-bought meringue that used the normal sugar, and it was awful. Absolute waste of money.
I was going to say, I'm so glad you told us, because knowing me, if I had everything... and not caster sugar, I would have used normal sugar.
But see, that's the thing. I'm also the queen of, like, exchanges. I'm like, oh, what can I... Okay, this can be a banana instead. Great. Whoop, I'll do that. So that's just an important tip to know.
Oh, I'm definitely trying this out.
If you guys make it, tag 180 degrees on Instagram. Yes. I'd love to see your lemon meringues.
Yes, you can find us at IMY Movement on Instagram. We will be there. We have the passwords. We will see the tags.
So now we're going to go straight on into the groovy movie.
Zoe on 180 degrees.
Hey. I walk by the little bitty bamboo.
Time to watch the movies.
Now we are in the groovy movie section of the show, you guys. Now I'm sure you've probably noticed a pattern along the years that I like to do shows or TV series from when you were a child. Mm. However, this week's groovy movie is a little bit more recent. I know some of us in the studio have not seen the movie, but...
Are you looking at... Stop looking at me accusingly.
I don't know why the
cinema is expensive.
Yes, but I saw it on, like, DSTV at my friend's house.
I don't have TV.
At a friend's house.
My friends don't have TV.
I was going to say, I don't know why you're accusing when you're the only one that watched it.
You know what?
You live with your parents, man. I'm a student in Stellenbosch, surrounded by students. Where are we going to get DSTV at?
Okay, you're right. I really... I just felt like choosing violence today. I don't know why.
Apparently, I've also chosen violence.
Right? We were just like, choice A, B, C. C, violence. Take it.
C.
Full scale.
C.
Always. So this week's groovy movie, if you guys have seen it, and I really, really hope you have, because it was a box office success. It starred two very great stars who are very iconic, and there's some drama behind there that I don't want to get into. Please WhatsApp us the answer if you have any idea what it is. WhatsApp us at 081-729-1657. I repeat, 081-729-1657. We would love to hear from you guys, and I hope you guys know this. I hope I'm not the only one. Degrees on Radio Cape Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m.
Zoe on 180 degrees.
Wow, this week's groovy movie was quite fun. Almost as fun as the song that we listened to in the break while we gave you guys a little bit of a chance to think about what it was. Now, like I said, this week's groovy movie is very modern. It's not a song that came up if you were a child, and if it did, then you're probably not old enough to be up at this time. In any case,
go to sleep, guys.
Go to sleep. But if you know what this week's groovy movie is, and I really wish you had sent us the answer during the break, but now I'm going to give you guys the answer. So this week's groovy movie was Why Did You Do That? From Shallow, which I will say I think might have been one of the least popular songs in the whole movie. It's a musical, for those of you who don't know. There's a very iconic. Wait, it's not called Shallow. It's called A Star Is Born.
I was wondering because Shallow is the most popular song from the movie. I'm thinking, I'm like, I swear I know this movie.
Yes. You know, in my mind, I was always like, this movie is called Shallow because that's the biggest song. And honestly, they generally name the biggest song after the musical. So the fact that it's A Star Is Born.
I don't know. Maybe they didn't know it was going to be Shallow.
Most likely. But then again, it is a remake of something else, a movie that came out in like the 60s or so.
Ooh.
It's a popular story that's been retold many times. So those of you who are familiar with the story and the movie, A Star Is Born, not Shallow, give yourselves a pat on the back. You know cinema better than me.
We actually know it.
It's so confusing us for writing the wrong thing.
What movie, Shallow?
You know what? I must apologize, you guys. I thought I knew cinema better than this. But yeah, let's go on straight into the interview section of the show. I'm quite excited. Those of you who listen to the show might remember this week's guest. We had her on a couple months ago, a very influential woman we have on, Lilianne Mukidi. She is the owner of Ujoma Sewing and Beading and Other Services, which is an NPO that aims to empower women in the community to sustain themselves by providing them with skills that can give them this ability. They can learn how to sew and make money for their families this way, and they also, it is opportunities open to women of all ages. However, today we will not be talking about the NPO. We will be talking about Mrs. Lilianne, because she is married, Mrs. Lilianne, and her book. She wrote a book, an autobiography, and I think it's very interesting. I read it a couple weeks ago and it moved me, and I think it's something that the audience would like to listen to. So I'd just like to say good evening, Mrs. Mukidi. How are you doing?
Good evening, ladies. Good evening, Zoe. I'm fine, thank you.
It's great to have you on the show once again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm so happy to, be with you again.
Yes. I would like to ask, what led you exactly to write the book?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, when you can't tell your story and when people don't listen, I think the best choice to put it down by reading, people may understand what you will be through, especially African community. Because, you know, growing in Africa, born in Africa, where there's no counseling, where people don't listen, don't hear your voice, don't know what you went through. And it's difficult for people to understand you and the situation you are in. And I've just realized, you know, many years has passed and no one knows really what happened to me when I was at age 15 and what I went through, my life, my teenager. So I just decided, I said to my husband, I want to write this story so that it's not only for me, also to help an African girl, young girl, who is going through the same situation like me. That's the main reason I wrote the book.
Yes. Before we ask the next question, I would like to say that I would like to send out a trigger warning. This interview, this autobiography, includes stories of rape. So if this is something that is triggered ring for you, I would like to warn you in advance.
Thank you very much for telling us that, Zoe.
So, Lilianne, you know, what goals do you have with regards to the book?
The main goal is to help a young lady, a woman, who never tell your story, who has been through the same situation I was in, and need to be set free. You know, when you keep the story in and when you don't tell your story, you still have to, locked in and you're not free at all. But by telling your story, you release yourself. So this book, I think the main goal is to reach people. And everyone who has read the book, I've come across people who are just share the story, and a lady, some woman just stood up and said, you know, this is exactly what happened to me as well. But I never told anyone. And this woman is already married. But like that day, I feel relieved at least this story can help someone to come out and free herself.
Yes, I feel like
it's... That's the main goal, is just to relieve people from the bondage they lock themselves at not disclosing what happened to them.
I feel like... I just wanted to say that I'm very happy that you wrote the book for this reason and the reasons you're saying, because especially in that time period, I feel like this is a very hush-hush thing that people didn't really talk about. Even I remember in the book when you were writing about how you went to the boy's family and like they did not want to, you know, accept the child. And it just felt like in that era, and maybe even now in many societies still, we often tend to blame the woman when it really was never your fault, ever.
Sure, exactly. You know, I just want to maybe explain a little bit about what also happened. You know, being a young girl, you feel you feel safe by having friends and trusting them, especially boyfriend. You trust them as friends, but not knowing that in their mind they have something else. But you go as a friend, you meet friends, you trust them. You know, this happened when I was 15 years old. And not even thinking of, I did not even have an idea of sex, what is sex. Because on those days, you know, I'm now 53. Imagine 30 years back. Those days, it was difficult for a young girl to think of sex. Because it was prohibited, it was like a taboo, you don't even want to talk about it. But finding yourself in a situation where someone forced himself into you, it was a shame, first of all. And the reason why you could not even tell anyone, and people don't, because they look at you like someone who brought shame as a family. And yourself, you also think, start condemning yourself. If I did not go and visit them, maybe this thing could not happen to me. So you start condemning yourself. So that was the position I was in, because of myself. Because I went from my house to visit them, that's the reason why this happened to me. And after that, you stay in a position where you don't even know how to speak to people, because the society, even the church, that experience which made me feel very bad, because even the church look at you like an outcast. The community look at you like an outcast. The school, it was difficult for you to go back to school, because when I was raped, I was 15, as I said, and 4 months later, that's when I discovered that I was pregnant, not even knowing that I was pregnant. I just went to the hospital to find out what is happening. I'm not feeling well. And just to come and discover, the doctor told me that my daughter was pregnant, and it's 4 months. That was the end of my life. On that, I feel like I can just die there. And knowing, having a parent, my parent was the most difficult parent, and I could not even open my mouth and tell them. I said, I'll wait until they will see. And the doctor advised me, don't even think of doing anything because you might die. I was in the fear of dying, and what am I going to do? I was so clever at school. Should I drop school? I was in a confusion that I did not even have a counselor to speak to. In hospital, there's no counselors. There's no one could say I can just encourage me and advise me on what to do. I was all alone. And there's so many people who are experiencing that. And it's not only today I'm a bit strong. Every time I used to speak about this, I was so emotional, but now I know that, I'm strong enough because I've made it in life. But the thing is, there's a lot of people out there with the same situation. regardless of the color of your skin, you have white, black, colored. I shared it with CCSN, and there were some colored people who called me and said, my dear, your story has made me free. Mm-hmm. And until today, she's my prayer partner since I shared this story, I think, 4 years ago. You know, there's so many people who have been in this situation, and it, by sharing the story, it brought them up.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you for sharing that story with us as well. Like, and thank you for highlighting the shame that you felt and the shame that was forced upon you by society at that time. It must have been an incredibly traumatic experience, and I think there will be some listeners out there who can identify with that and who will find a bit of solace in your story.
Sure.
So, would you say that the events of your life led to you starting Umoja Sewing?
The event in my life is not in full, it is part of what made me start Umoja. As I was saying, having a situation where you are abused, rejected, and I learned to strive, I learned to overcome my fears and to stand on my own. I pushed to become who I am today.
Mm.
Because and then I said, I can't pass this, because if you were rejected by your family, no one, no support, and I stood up, I said, no, I'm not going to look at what the community is saying about me, what the people are saying about me. I have one goal to achieve, is to do something good for myself. I have to complete my school. I need to find to find something to do. So I completed my matric university. I completed because I could stand on my own and say, no, I'm not what people say I have. I know who I have. Mm. And when I came to South Africa, after all these difficulties, I could not even find a job. But I said to myself, I can't just sit and wait for people to help me. I need to do something. So I, you know, I looked around, so what can I do? And I looked around and looked, I said, no, there is something I can do. And now, because I just got involved volunteering in different communities, different organizations, I was volunteering. And I learned how to run an organization. So I was sent to a conference in East London. And when I went there, they gave me a bag. It was a beaded bag. Then I said, no, this is beautiful. And I look at the amount of people who were carrying those bags, how much money they make, and the people who made this. Then I said, I need to learn this skill and train other people so that we can create our own job.
Mm.
So I came down to Safari to Cape Town. I called someone who trained me how to do the sewing, trained me how to do the bidding. Then later on, I started inviting people to come and learn. And I say, this is not only an issue of foreigners, not only an issue of an individual. It's a common issue of Africans. Because what is killing Africa is poverty. What is killing Africa is a lack of skills. But I start inviting women from different backgrounds, and they come and we learn. I say, I don't know, I can't promise you a job, but let's trust God that we're going to have jobs.
Mm.
And we start learning from one another. And I suddenly, someone asked me, what is the name of your organization? Then I just think, you know, this, I call it Umoja. Because Umoja means unity. The Swahili name, it means unity. We are one. We're coming from different backgrounds so that we can form a new family.
Mm-hmm.
We start looking at where you come from and what is your color of your skin. So we get people from colored to white, people from people are coming out of prison, homeless, everyone is willing to learn, who is welcome to our project. And we thank God, because that's after a few months, we start getting orders from what we are producing. People, we made a lot and a lot orders for shimmy, woodwork, and so I think we were training every term, about 40 to 50 women.
Mm.
Right now, I'm telling you, In Kenya, everywhere, people know about Umoja. I can go to PAL. I often get, I can't even remember this. No, Mama, we know you remember you from Umoja. So everyone will talk. Some of them, I can't even remember them. Because it has been 20 years now we've been running Umoja. And I'm so happy because it changed the perspective of people. They don't look at them that they can't do anything, there's no job and sit down, but today they can learn a skill and start something.
Mm. Sure, you know, just listening to you speak, it's so inspiring for me sitting, you know, sitting on the other end of this phone call. And I just want to, you know, ask if there's any advice that you would give to any young girl who maybe might have found herself in the same situation as you were. If you could say anything to her right now, what would your advice be?
I think the book, I think, is dedicated to the young women. What I would say to them, advice I would say to them, first of all, you cannot just trust anyone who's around you, especially in these days. But you must make sure that wherever you go, you are prepared and people you trust, because hate destroys. And if you cannot cope and stand, some goes through. Yeah, some can, kill themselves, and, you know, it brings a lot of depression. But I don't want youngest to go through that. You better prevent yourself, yeah, to look after yourself, stand by yourself, and know who are your friends. And if this happens to you, don't keep quiet. If I may survive today, it's not because I was strong. Right? I don't know, it's by the grace of God, I will say. There were days I could feel that today, I think I feel like dying. There were days I was so depressed, I could not even wake up, days of crying. This is not a situation I don't want a young girl to go through. So they have to speak up immediately. If they don't feel comfortable to speak to their parents, find someone you trust, speak. And they'll help. I'm willing to help as many young people I can with my story and encouragement and making them to understand life and to stand again for themselves and become again somebody. Today, I'm happily married. I'm running an organization. And I'm just happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The past is gone. So without speaking out, you cannot forget the past. It's time to speak out so that you may forget the past and move on with your life.
I would like to ask if you have any wishes or any changes you'd like to see in African society.
In African society, South Africa, they're trying because there is a lot of counseling, there is a lot of places where you can run to. But the main thing is the African country. People are dying. People don't speak. Rape is happening every day. They pretend as if things are fine. And it's happening sometimes in the house. I've come across people who have been raped in their house by uncles, by cousins, in their homes, but they never speak to anyone. So it's something that we need to implement. I want to have a group of people who can go and establish some counseling center. There's nothing like counseling center in all those countries. Police, you go to police, they will help you again. There's no way you can run. So I'm crying for Africa, especially for African young girls, if we can help them, to come to this school, to protect them, to have a place where they can say that if I go to this place, I will be protected. There's nothing as such. And that's my second mission, is to go in Africa and try to establish a place like that for young girls and mothers, not only young girls. There's also a lot of women who have been abused, even boys who have been abused.
My last question is, do you have any advice for anyone out there who would be looking to publish a book?
Not yet. I've been selling by myself because I did the first launch with my previous church, or the Jubilee Community Church, which is so great because so many people from overseas, bought the book, but still people are coming through my office and when they want the book. But I need support to publish this book because I want, because the people also ask if I can write it in French as well. So, it needs support. Yeah? I sacrificed myself to have this made. It's quite a lot of money. I know Pastor Olo knows how much it costs. So I try my best. This is from my own pocket. I managed to do that. But if I can find someone who can publish it, that will be great. I want this book to reach as many people. Because on my loan, the first day I learned the girls from America, the students, I think they were on holiday, and one bought the book and I bought this book for my mom because the story, it related to my mom's story. And she bought the book for her mother in America. So that was so touching. Yeah.
I would like to lastly ask, if anyone wants to buy the book, how can they go about doing that?
For now, they can just pop in our office at number 313 Lower Main Road Observatory. That's where we're selling the book. And they can call me, but I'm trying to put an e-book. But the guy who's working on it, I think he's going to publish it maybe next month.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can access it online. So I hope it will be done as soon as possible. But for now, they can just get it from our office in Observatory.
Can you share the name of the book with us quickly so that next month, if any of our readers, our listeners, want to read it, that they know what to search for?
The book is called Imani. Imani means faith. You know, I came from the Swahili area, so I always want to put a bit of Swahili. So Imani, I love it because it means faith, and that's the name of the book. So if you can call and ask for Imani book, we can send it to them. You can easily, send it to them via Korea you can just give us a call on 076-461-7036. That's my contact number.
Wow, thank you so much, Lillian, for this very incredible interview, for telling us where we can get the book, and for having the word of advice for any young girl out there who is in a very similar situation. As we all know, South Africa is unfortunately the rape capital of the world, so this is a very, very relevant issue in our society.
And thank you very much for telling us the story of how you rose from the ashes like a phoenix, but you didn't just rise by yourself. You brought your community up around you as well. And I think those are always such important stories for us to hear. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
All right.
You must have a wonderful evening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Before we go straight into our Bible quiz, I would like to say that if anyone out there is being affected by rape or knows anyone who is affected by rape, please, please call the Rape Crisis Line. Their number is 021-447-9762. This is, I know someone who's worked with them. They're very good, and it's not something you should be quiet about, as Lillian said.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us, Zoe.
180 degrees on I Am Youth Movement.
All right, and now it is part for the Now it is time for the Bible quiz question.
It's Monday, guys. It's Monday.
I am struggling to say this name. Zoe says it differently than I do, so excuse me for the bit of a brain scramble. So Methuselah, the oldest man in the Bible, died at what age? Zoe, how do you say his name?
Methuselah.
See, both seem probable to me. The scripture you will find this in is Genesis 5. So please SMS us those answers to 37988 or WhatsApp us at 081-729-1657. So the three ages that I've provided for you guys to choose out of.
The provider.
is A, 756, B, 1,023, or C, 969. So once again, the question is, Methuselah, the oldest man in the Bible, died at what age? WhatsApp us the answer at 081-729-1657.
180 degrees on Radio Cape Pulpit, 729 AM.
All right, so before the break, I asked you guys a question. So that question was, Methuselah, the oldest man in the Bible, died at what age? The answer was C, 969.
Woo!
I became real old.
Right? And to those of you who, like, Inga and I discussed this, we were talking about this during the music break, and we were like, we wanted to pick 1,000, because I knew that he was the oldest man in the Bible, but then we picked the nice middle one.
The middle one. Not too young, not too old.
Not too young, not too old, 900 years.
Straight down the middle.
Do you guys think these ages are accurate, or do you just think they're a bit exaggerated? That's always my question when I read Bible ages.
This is what I think. Maybe the concept of time was different back then.
I agree.
Vibes.
Something like that, you know, which calls for a deeper discussion, but that's just my thought. Like, I think maybe, and then again, I also think, you know, nowadays we have processed food, you know, we're not living so long anymore.
We're not reaching that 900.
We're not reaching that, you know, the hundreds.
But let me shelf this conversation until the next time that we can discuss it more properly and go into the happy health tip.
180 degrees on I Am Youth Movement.
Follow us on Facebook today.
I Am Radio.
Health tips. How to be happy in your health. It's not just about being healthy, it's about being happy. Should be quite interesting. Chocolates are the true source of happiness.
So, speaking of processed foods, we have some happy health tips for you for today. Number one. So these are helpful health tips. Number one is learn to do stretching exercises when you wake up because it boosts circulation and digestion pains. Oh, I didn't know that. Number two, don't skip breakfast. Study shows that eating a proper breakfast is one of the most positive things you can do if you are trying to lose weight. Number three, brush up on hygiene. Many people don't know how to brush their teeth properly. Improper brushing can cause as much damage to the teeth and gums as not brushing at all. Lots of people don't brush for long enough, don't floss, and don't see a dentist regularly.
Also, those people who brush way too hard. I don't know if you guys have seen, like, some dudes' toothbrushes that are completely flat.
Yeah.
For some reason, my father's always looked like that, and I'm like, are your teeth all right?
This is my father as well.
What are they doing to their teeth?
Like, it's clean.
But you know, apparently you can, like, remove, like, the nail.
Yeah, don't brush too hard. It's bad for teeth.
Yeah.
Take rest, deep breaths.
Tag us in pictures of your toothbrushes. Number four, get what you give. Always giving and never taking. This is the short road to compassion fatigue. So today we're not just talking about, you know, eating healthy and healthy for the body, but also, you know, your mindset, yourself, your emotions. Give yourself, give time to yourself and give yourself time, to receive from others. Guys, I'm not Englishing properly over here.
almost 8. The English runners are
running out.
Definitely.
Otherwise, you'll get to a point where you have nothing left to give.
Thank you for coming in hot over there. Thank you, Amarain. Number five, get spiritual. So that doesn't mean, you know, like, get spiritual. It means a study conducted by the formidably sober and scientific Harvard University found that patients who were prayed for recovered quicker than those who weren't, even if they weren't aware of prayer.
Wow.
That's something we actually discussed in our pastoral care class recently about how apparently the clinical psychologists in hospitals are starting to encourage more pastoral carers to come in and just to talk to patients and pray for them. Because it's great to look at people's physical health and to care for them in that way. But especially being hospitalized, you know, emotionally and spiritually, you're also hurt. You're also lacking. So just getting that part of you looked after is really good for the rest of you. Holistic health.
And that is actually something that I can actually add, like with my grandma, for example. So the beginning of this year, I lost my grandma and my grandpa. So within the space of, I lost my pa first, and then 14 days, I lost my grandma. And she was getting better, but she was alone with my grandpa. So when we told her the news, she just went like silent. And then she got sick, and she went to the hospital, and because we couldn't visit her, the doctors would say, she's asking, where's my grandchildren, where's my children? Like, not having that, you know, interaction or that family pushing you. Like, we could obviously call her, we could send her messages, but she wasn't. Then there was a time she wasn't answering her phone, she wasn't, you know.
It's incredibly lonely.
Oh, it's terrible. Number six, and the final one. It sounds weird, but hear me out. Get smelly. Garlic, onions, spring onions, all leeks, and leeks all contain stuff that is good for you. A study at Child Health Institute in Cape Town found that eating raw garlic helped fight serious childhood infections. Heat destroys these properties, so it's best to eat it raw.
You know what? You can do this in fun ways. I put some raw garlic on my wraps when I eat them, because you get that like garlic that's chopped up, like not cooked, in the tubs from like Spar or Pick and Pay. It slaps on a wrap. Like, if you guys don't know how to incorporate raw garlic, that is my suggestion.
I add garlic to everything, guys.
So good.
My sister thinks I have a problem.
Same. It's really delicious, and it just adds to a meal, the flavor. It's like ginger as well.
But even like onions, some places sell those like crispy, like dried onions that you can put on food as well. I love that. That goes in basically everything that I eat. So find creative ways to include these things.
Can you guys bring me these dishes, you know, sometime? Maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
Like every Monday night, someone else brings something.
I'm so down.
Same.
That was our happy health tip. And look where we are at right now.
At the end of the show once more.
Indeed. It's like the time has really just flown by.
So, guys, thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for tuning in with us. We love Mondays, and we love it because we are with you guys.
And we're here with each other as well.
This has been 180 Degrees.
Signing out.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.